I have with me, as you know, elections are coming up. A lot of people on the Democratic side are saying that they're running for president. None of them so far can beat the Great White Hope, but they are running. I have with me Dr. Shiva. And Dr. Shiva is an entrepreneur, author, scientist, and a politician for the Independent Party. He will be running for the Massachusetts Senate seat in 2020. He also has 4 degrees from MIT and has a book coming out later this month titled The Climate of Science. The Climate of Science. I want to talk to him about that, but also other things, that what's going on right now in this great country. Dr. Shiva, thank you for coming, being on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great to be here, Jesse. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. You're welcome. At one time, you were a Republican until 2017, right? What made you decide to switch over from being a Republican to an independent party?
Well, in Massachusetts, unfortunately, Jesse, there's just one party. It's a uniparty. Elizabeth Warren, I ran against her. But when I announced as a Republican, the local Republican Party here is essentially aligned very closely with the Democratic Party. There's a governor who essentially runs the Massachusetts GOP by the name of Charlie Baker, and there's nothing Republican about him. He's essentially, the other head of the Democratic Party here. So that's why I decided to run independent. You know, we got close to 100,000 votes, Jesse. We spent less than 70 cents a vote. Warren spent close to $30 a vote. And they didn't allow me on the debate stage, even though we followed every rule by the law. There were only 3 of us running.
Amazing.
About 20 years ago, another independent ran, was polling at less than 1%. I was polling over 10% and had over 60% visibility. So they're basically afraid, Jesse. The uniparty here, which is essentially one party, if you want to think about Massachusetts, it's sort of the center of the deep state. It's where the alpha and the omega of the deep state are, and you can see the total unity of the rhinos and the Democrats here. So it was the best thing I did. We're going to run again in 2020. We have a great ground game. And a lot of people, I think, learned from the last election that the Republican, quote unquote, Republican Party here in Massachusetts, essentially the twin head of the Democratic Party.
Is there a fight in Massachusetts to turn it around and create a conservative state for the most part rather than so Democrat and liberal?
Well, I think the good news was in the last election, the Republican candidate who was running, he essentially sold out all the Republicans, and people saw that. You know, a great philosopher said sometimes the masses have to learn through bitter struggle. And what we've seen is those same people are recognizing how they were sold out. So I think the good news is when we're, our ground game this time, I think is going to be even more powerful. You know, we had these fake Indian, real Indian signs all over Massachusetts, Jesse. Only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. It went viral. We forced Warren to take that DNA test. She did something very stupid. Yeah. It showed that she was a faker Indian than she really was. But I think the big thing that's coming out is I think everyday working people, and I mean working people who get up every day, have a skill, or an entrepreneur, go to work, they're recognizing that in Massachusetts in particular, either party doesn't really represent them. And in fact, it sells them out. So if you think about something like immigration you were talking about earlier, both parties profit from it. And Trump was probably the first one who really wanted to address this head on. But the establishment of both parties doesn't really want to address immigration because it fundamentally hurts the American worker. But if you look at Wall Street, if you look at the drug cartels, if you look at the left, quote unquote, the left and quote unquote right, they actually profit from it. One profits from votes,
yeah,
and the other profits from, profit. So I think there are many issues like that that we're going to be bringing up, which show the collusion, particularly in Massachusetts, of both of these parties.
You ran against Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, back in 2018. What was that like? What was it like running against her? How did that go?
It was awesome. We had a lot of fun. When we ran against her, we hit hard on the, we had a bus that a bunch of MIT students and local citizens built And on it, Jesse, we had a big sign which says only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian, a picture of me and her picture of in the headdress. The city of Cambridge sent me a letter saying I had to take down that banner. I own a building. I own a beautiful building. It wasn't on the building. It was on the bus. So we sued them in federal court and they surrendered.
Amazing.
So wherever we went, you could see the white liberal elite did not want to have a real discussion about race, because the real issues, they're the ones who are the racists. And they flip around the race issue, we notice, and they bind it to a very small thing. Don't say these words, you know, don't talk like this, and therefore you're not a racist. When in fact, they're the real racists, because they live on segregation, they live on dividing people up, and they live on not discussing issues. So they've narrowed the discussion of race to a very small bounds that they can control. And so we brought up those contradictions. In fact, if you go on YouTube, we went to a Warren event, and we invited the people going into the Warren event. I think Warren was doing something with Whoopi Goldberg. And we said, why don't you come over here and let's have a discussion? Well, a couple of students came by. One guy wearing a T-shirt, it's quite extraordinary, saying liberal, came over and punched me in the face because he started calling me a racist. And I said, no, you're the racist. And the point is that Massachusetts in many ways is a center of what I call the establishment. So I think we have a huge opportunity here to expose those contradictions. So on every issue, Jesse, I run a bi-monthly seminar series called Systems Thinking. We take every issue, be it gun violence, be it immigration, be it healthcare, and we look at it from a scientific approach, and we show that it's a multifactorial issue, and that how both of these parties in Massachusetts in particular sell out the worker and never address the real issues, because they don't really want to ever solve the real issue. They always want to distract people to a fake problem and then create a fake solution.
So had not you just discovered that the Republican Party there is not the real deal, you would still be a Republican?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, the values of the Republican Party that, you know, if you go even back to Lincoln, right?
Right.
Those values are the values that I cherish, you know? Those are the values of, look, I came from India, Jesse, with nothing. My parents came here with nothing. We were considered low caste untouchables. I came here as a 7-year-old kid, worked through the public school systems, worked my butt off. By the time I was 14, I had gone to NYU, you know, created the first email system, we should talk about that, in Newark, New Jersey, came to MIT, did 4 degrees, started 7 companies, made a lot of money doing that. The last company I did, we grew to around $250 million. I'm doing a new company now. All of that comes from this very powerful value system of the America, which was really in many ways what was promoted by the Republican Party at one point, which was hard work, learn skills, you know, cherish community, cherish family, cherish your teachers, your elders, and your mentors. And so in many ways, I would say I'm more Republican than Republican. But unfortunately, there's no home in Massachusetts for that. That's why we're running as independents.
You, excuse me, you created the first email system, right? What made you decide to do that?
Well, Jesse, when I was very motivated because I saw the immense capability America offered me versus what my parents had in India. So as I mentioned, by when I was 14, I'd finished calculus. Went to NYU. This is in 1978, Jesse, when computers would occupy a huge room. And so even though I had some high school courses to finish up after I finished that NYU program, I started working full time in the heart of Newark, New Jersey at a medical school doing medical research. And I was very fortunate because there was a researcher there, a physicist. He gave me access to computers and he gave me a challenge. You may remember this, Jesse. Anyone over the age of 40 remembers in the old days, in offices, they had the secretary, always a woman. She had a typewriter, and she'd write a thing called a memo. Remember?
Yeah. Yes.
And it would have to, from, subject. You sometimes have to do a blind carbon copy.
Right.
Carbon copy.
Yes.
And there was a whole system for sending out these memos, and it was part of the inter-office mail system. It was before. It was a social media before social media, and I was asked to convert that entire system into the electronic version, Jesse. You know, you could send simple text messages on those big mainframes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about converting that entire interoffice mail system. So I wrote 50,000 lines of code, used to stay awake until 2 in the morning, and I called that email. E-M-A-I-L. The only reason I called it email, Jesse, was the operating system in those days only allowed 5 characters. And a few years after that, I got it copyrighted because that was the only way to protect software. The politicians didn't understand software. It was only 1994 could you patent software. So this was before I came to MIT, Jesse. But what I was doing was I was solving a problem. And that's where innovation comes from. It doesn't come from Silicon Valley all the time or the Defense Department. It came from a 14-year-old kid in Newark, New Jersey, who was trying to help secretaries go from the typewriter to the keyboard. That's the origin of email.
That's amazing.